And we should see then the worries in our life not as like we're blowing it.
No.
Like, you know, man, the lilies have got me, you know, they handle this better than I do. But to realize that's God's goal for us.
Yeah.
He wants us to let those examples from creation be a lesson to us,
yeah,
of how we can release those things to,
yes,
God.
Yes.
This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. How do we break the worry cycle? I mean, just when I thought I was good at not worrying, there it is again. Am I doomed to be a lifelong worrier, or is there hope for any progress? This is Season 2, Episode 35 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. Hey, Ryan, good to have you here.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, well, one thing, it's morning.
It is morning.
Back to our routine. You've got some coffee going on there.
Yep.
Apparently, last episode we recorded in the evening, right before hockey game, and we said if you did amazingly well, we might, you know, it might become like the pregame routine.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're in the morning, so how'd it go?
I mean, it went okay. I mean, I scored a goal, so
all right, that's good.
You know, that's pretty decent. You know, I'm playing up this division, which means that I'm playing in like the two highest divisions that they have at the rink right now.
Wow.
And
I don't mind saying so myself.
No. I feel like extremely gassed after like every game.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a good learning curve, you know, like to playing up in the higher divisions. You're also playing with better people too, mm-hmm, so that kind of helps.
Yeah.
You know,
so one goal is pretty good.
So one goal is not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
No, because like I said, the goalies are better, the other teams are better, but mm-hmm, then also your teammates are better too. So it's a good healthy competition, and I like it. So it's fun.
Yeah, as a wise man once said, there's two sides to every puck.
There's two sides. You can't win them all.
One's pretty good.
Exactly. We tied last night, and you know, I got another goal last night, so that was kind of cool. So, I got an assist last night. So,
all right.
But it was fun. You know, so I feel like I'm doing okay. I have a point per game, which is pretty good. You know, so,
People talk to you about hockey on Sunday mornings now? Because
yes, they do. The time. Yeah, and I actually do have to give a shout out to one of our church members and listeners. You know, the Colops, if you're listening.
All right.
They gifted me something very nice for my office, which I have to put up somewhere. I haven't figured it out where to put it yet.
Really? What is that?
Okay, so my favorite hockey player is a guy named Paul Kariya. He used to play for the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah.
And he wore number 9. And so 9 has always been my number and some variation of 9, mm-hmm, you know, kind of in his likeness.
Yeah.
And my son's favorite hockey player is a guy named Austin Matthews.
We know that.
Right.
Yes.
And he plays for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yes.
And he got me got us a custom hockey pillows. And one of it is Paul Kariya's number and name, and the other one is Austin Matthews' number and name on pillows.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have to figure out, you know, exactly where to put them, but yeah, I saw those in the office the other day and I was like, wow, this is awesome. I just love that it's growing, you know?
That's great. Well, your son's gonna be sleeping on it. I mean, come
on.
I know.
It's gonna be game over. I know. I wanna try and keep it nice, but you know.
Come on.
He might get his sweaty little head on it, you know?
That is so nice. Well, I love the engagement that we're having with our listeners. Yeah. People talk to me every week about it.
Yeah, same.
And So, and one of the teasers that we set up last week was we were talking about the listener question that, and we ended up, not making it into the podcast. So we're going to have that today. Yeah. And I had a couple people asking about what, cause we kind of teased it.
Yes, we did.
So, that's going to, those missing minutes, we're calling them, of the listener question from last episode.
Sure.
We just wanted you to wait a little longer.
Well, I love the way you ended last week's podcast. And so we, I in the, you know, editing room, I felt like it just kept, it was like a total shift, you know, in the tone, you know, and I just loved the way you ended it, you know, especially with talking about, you know, the being divided and all of those things. And I felt like your message and then your, you know, podcast, the recording of it, I felt was stronger if it stood, you know, alone, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, good call. And as we, what it ends up doing is just making everybody, you know,
just wait a little bit.
It's like watching a show that you love. And then it leaves you a little bit of cliffhanger.
Yeah, exactly.
You go, wait, what happened? So we got a little bit of cliffhanger and
so we're going to make you wait even longer.
Longer at the end of today. You'll get to hear that if you've been waiting for that. It's a listener question that definitely made us self-conscious.
Oh, very much so.
Very much so. And we'll see if, we can, if this is the last podcast because of that.
Well, we said the last one was the last one.
So we're here we are.
So but here we are again.
That's partly because we didn't reveal why, but today you'll get it. You'll get why
you'll understand.
We have been humbled.
Yes.
Major humbling in my life anyway. So anyway, today we want to talk about, you know, the idea of breaking the worry cycle.
Yeah.
We're, in this podcast, we're doing, kind of spend some time over the next few weeks looking at Philippians chapter 4, and it's really meant to be something that we think about in community, you know, to remember that Paul is writing to a local church, and these aren't just, sometimes we read even a place like Philippians 4 and we just apply it to us personally, but to realize that these are corporate instructions. These are things that we need to understand together. And worry, even though it feels so independent, it feels so, you know, sort of like just on my own, in my own brain going on, it really is something that can be tackled better in community.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. In this week in the message on Sunday, I talked about how we need to, according to Philippians 4:4-9, we need to recognize worry, then we need to replace it with prayer, thoughts, and actions, and then we receive God's peace. Sounds pretty simple. Sounds almost like, oh, good, just boom, 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 and I got this thing wired. But it's usually not that easy.
No.
Usually not that easy.
No.
And I want to begin by just admitting that I am a card-carrying worrier. You know, some people don't seem to worry much. That is not my lot in life. I can go to worry pretty easily. And so I feel like in my life anyway, there's sort of this pendulum. When I'm not worried, it feels like just a minor part of my life. I feel like, yeah, I've got some good victory. Everything's going well. I'm doing fine. I can even be, as I talked about in the message, a little insensitive to other people who are worrying because I just trust God. It's fine.
Yeah.
But then when something happens, hits me, then I can go really into that worry mode again. And then I get, you know, like down on myself going, Doug, you know better. Why are you, you know, why is this just feel like it's so crippling and so strong? So I wonder, is that even okay? Is it okay if someone, you know, like myself gets in front of a microphone like this and talks about worry? Because, you know, it's not like I've got it wired. Although I've noticed this on the flip side, there's people in my life, not that many, because I feel like worry is relatable to most people, but there seems to be a handful of people in my life who never worry.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be like, they skate through and stuff comes their way and they're not really impacted by it. But I feel like their stories aren't that helpful to me. I feel like, well, good for you, but it doesn't help me because I don't, Yeah, I don't connect with that. I don't connect
that's
with
like
that.
It's like when somebody says like, oh, just calm down. You're like, oh, sure. Okay,
just
cool.
Just calm down. Yeah, that's easy for you to say.
Yeah. I'll just do that right now. You know what I mean? Here I go.
Exactly. So I just want to begin by saying I'm talking about progress, not perfection here. I'm just talking about let's make a dent. Let's move in the right direction. It's not totally. Something that I am coming here as an expert saying I'm great at this. It seems to be, you know, something that I'm making progress in.
Right.
That's where
that's
I am.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I feel like there's moments, you know, where you kind of worry a little bit more about things, or you know, when things are out of control, I think that's when things, you know, get, you know, that's when I start to worry about things, you know, when I don't feel like I have any control over the outcome of a situation, you know?
Yeah. And the reality is we're never in control.
Right.
You know, so that's the awareness of that is no different than all of life, but sometimes it hits you in a maybe a more blatant way, and you're realizing this really feels like I'm out of control.
Yes.
So what do we do then?
Right.
How do we approach it then? When we realize that we're worrying again, I know that for a lot of folks that are listening right now, probably you connect with that too. You may be in a worry mode, and that's why the title of this podcast grabbed your attention, and you really need to hear about it. Others are just following along in this podcast kind of on a regular basis, and they're going, this will be good to tuck away for the future. But if you are prone to worry, then I get you. I get you. We get each other. So I want to begin with just saying a couple things here. One is that the one another of this series is really important. I feel like last week in the podcast we dealt with unity versus division, or division versus unity, and that feels very corporate. That feels very it's not a stretch to think about how that applies to our life together, but worry kind of feels like it could be much more individualistic. But I want to be a voice in your life that's saying, we need to learn to worry together. We need to learn to share our worries, first of all with God, but then secondly with one another, because as we do that, it kind of lessens the load. We now feel like there's others who are shouldering that with us, and they're going to bring something to our life just knowing that we've shared these concerns with one another rather than keeping them all to ourselves. So worry is definitely something that is contagious. If we worry a lot, people around us get worried. I know I can catch worry from people. Social media, the news, all the you know, things that we're bombarded with every day of our lives can kind of make us worry. We kind of capture the worry of others. But trust is also contagious, and if we can be those people in one another's lives who we can share our worries and then kind of also make our trust, our faith contagious, that to me is why this touches so perfectly with community.
Right. I've tried to apply, you know, kind of being more upfront with how we deal with our, you know, teams, or how we deal with our, you know, people in our church or people in our lives, where it's like, if you can give them enough details on the front end, I feel like it kind of takes away a lot of the worry of things, you know, where some of us, maybe more our type B kind of people like myself, you know, we can just kind of adapt. And I take that as something that's for granted, where I don't really worry a lot about a lot of things. Cause I just go like, well, I can't really control it all that well anyway.
Yeah, and then so I'll just adapt
to whatever comes my way, you know. But it does help with other types of people, especially if you're leading teams or if you're on a team of some sort, if you're able to front load with the details, because then people then can then process those details, and then when they anytime you do anything, you're gonna have to always adapt, but you can then kind of go, well, okay, this is kind of the plan that I have, you know, going into this situation, you know. So
That shared life together just has so many benefits. Benefits to rather just kind of being independent,
right,
going through,
right. Exactly.
Yeah. So this is definitely something that, you know, you may be listening on your exercise bike right now. As I heard one guy yesterday told me that that's how he listens every week. You could be on your motorcycle, as someone told us. You could be taking a walk. You could be working, you know, working around the home. You could be driving. Wherever you're listening to this, there's a good chance that you're listening all by yourself. But I want to tell you, you're not alone. You picture Ryan and myself right there with you.
Yep.
There's a three of us at least, and you're a part of a larger community of believers that you'll benefit so much as if you just make this worry a community thing rather than an individual thing.
Yes. Yes. So very much so.
I want to kind of start with that.
Yeah.
And then I want to get into this whole part of the passage that we dealt with. And can you call up Philippians 4, 6 and 7, and maybe just read that for us? Because to me, that's is kind of where we were focusing, at least the first part of the message.
Yeah, this is Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's our passage. That's great. And I'm struck in there. It says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything, which is both like that says it all in a way.
Yeah.
But it also maybe says too much. Like, what do you mean don't worry about anything?
Right.
And pray about everything.
Right.
We've been taught, you can't do everything in extreme. Don't do extremes.
Right.
You know, how do they put it? You know, like, can't be always or never.
Right.
You know, this is saying always and never, kind of like,
right.
Never worry.
Right.
Always pray.
Right.
You know, and it's like, wow, that feels daunting to me.
Yes.
To kind of feel like, what do you mean? Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. But so I want to talk a little bit about that and kind of bring that down to earth. For us, in practice, anything and everything can feel overwhelming. I've even heard people say, you know, don't be a worrier, be a warrior. And it feels like, oh, you know, like we're going to have 100% victory in this area. It seems overwhelming. But we need to treat worry as a signal, not as a failure.
Right.
It's meant to say worry is something that we're all going to face. And when we experience it, that's what I was talking about, like identifying it. Use it like a signal. It should be a trigger to pray.
Right.
Oh, there it is again.
Right.
It's time to pray. And this is a process that God wants to bring us to. This is why I talk about breaking the cycle, because when worry comes, we need to have somewhere to go with it, somewhere to take it.
Yeah.
And that is to take it to prayer. So
treat
it as a signal, not a failure. If you're worried, you go, oh man, I've already, you know, broken that verse. You know, I'm no longer living the way I'm supposed to. Realize that the reason that God put that in the Bible is because this is something that we all do, and we should see this as a prompt in our lives to turn it into prayer.
Right, right. Well, to go to God, you know, I know it's the, you know, very like, you know, church thing to say, or, you know, just like, oh, well, just pray about it, or just go to God with it. But in a way, it is very much true. It's not to worry about things, but to pray them, to lay them down at the altar, you know, because we know that Jesus fights our battles for us, you know what I mean? Like, and he's there for us. So it's like, in a way, it's like we shouldn't keep our mind occupied with all of these worries and all of these things that are bombarding ourselves, but instead go, you know what? God's got it. He's got a plan. I need to just trust that plan. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're prone to worry, or if worries come into your life, you can see it as sort of a gift.
Yes.
It's a way that God is something that God is using in your life to turn you towards him. And if you're not a worrier by nature, you never worry. There's a danger that you kind of live independently because you don't feel those prayer prompts in your life to call you to turn it over to God. So let it be sort of a warning light on the dashboard. Oh, there it is again.
Right.
Worry is showing up. That's a reminder of that I have something to do with that.
Yeah.
Something I'm called to do with that. And that is to I like the way the verse puts it. We present it to God. Mm-hmm. There's kind of a play on words there, but the idea of, you know, it's like a present. It's like, well, right. Here, God, it's like I picture wrapping it up right. And handing it over to him and giving it. And it's like, well, why does he want that present? Well, he does because he can handle it and you can't. Yeah. So right. Present it to God, offer it to him, and leave it at the foot of the cross.
Right.
Where it shouldn't be. So it, when it comes in your life, rather than feeling defeated, oh, no, there it is again, see it as a prayer prompt.
Yes.
A prompt to bring it to God.
Right.
Let it be a reminder. It's time to pray. If it rattles you, then you bring it to God.
Right.
Yeah. And also everything. Pray about everything. Everything doesn't mean that somehow I need to sit down and cover everything in my life with God. Obviously, we could never do that on a practical level. And if we did, we'd be up all day, all night, and all day again, trying to cover everything. It just means every situation that comes your way. The idea is that whatever comes up, bring that to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we live life conversationally with God rather than meaning somehow I've got to have this, you know, total, complete catalog of my life
right. That
I'm bringing before God all the time.
Right. I love we played a song yesterday after your message,
which was so good.
Yes.
It was so good. I get tired of not I tired. I get tired of me saying at the end of every service, what a perfect song.
Yeah.
I was like, because after a while, every song is perfect. So it's like, well, you can't say that every time.
Well, sometimes if I can, you know, be honest and reflect of my own self and leading and planning, you know, worship services and things like that. There are some times where I go like, oh, I think I missed the mark on that one.
Yeah.
You know, like there are sometimes I can, you know, you can, you know, we're human. We're not perfect. You
well,
know?
Don't take it if I don't say that,
right. That
it wasn't, because...
Right. It's okay. You don't have to.
I know.
It's already in there.
You're worried about it.
I've already thought about it myself. So. Yeah.
I just like get tired of myself sometimes going, Doug, you got to say something else. But that's a long way of saying
yes. That
was a great song at the end of the service. So you were going to say something about
I was just going to say, I love the first verse is what caught me, right?
Yeah.
And about worry and you know, about going to God with everything. And it just, I love the second verse says, the lily is not thinking about the seasons, the drought or the flood. The tree that's planted by the water isn't fazed by the fire. So why should I be?
Yeah.
And I just love that.
Yeah.
You know, it just encompassed everything that you were sharing yesterday about how to go to God with everything. You know, it's like we shouldn't be worried about what's happening. If the lilies aren't worried, if the tree's not worried, it's planted by the water.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be fazed by the fire. You know, it's like, I just love the way that the artist wrote that, you know?
So, that's
it was a perfect song.
It was a great song. It really was. Yeah. It's so good. And, what a great reminder, you know, that those things, that's the way that God wants us to live.
Yes.
And we should see then, the worries in our life, not as like we're blowing it.
No.
Like, you know, man, the lilies have got me, you know, they handle this better than I do. But to realize that's God's goal for us.
Yeah.
He wants us to let those examples from creation be a lesson to us of how we can release those things to God.
Yes.
So I you know, this old, you know, thing about praying about, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. I just want it to be an encouragement to you as listeners rather than like, oh no, I'm blowing it. Like, you know, realize that's where we all are, but God wants it to be sort of a reflex in our lives that we kind of respond to worry in our life as an opportunity to pray. The next thing that kind of comes out of our conversation from yesterday that I want to develop a little bit more is this idea of reframing our prayers with thankfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a phrase in the prayer. You know, we are to bring our prayers and requests before God with thanksgiving. And that's not a throwaway phrase in that verse. That's a really important part of this, that we learn to be thankful in the way that we bring our requests before God, because I think If we add thankfulness to our prayers, the things that we're worried about, it reframes them for us. It refocuses mm-hmm. us with them. There's a great story from Jesus's life, which I didn't have a chance to go into, but Jesus is in a situation that was very worrisome.
Right.
One of his best friends, Lazarus, had died. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, were also, you know, super close to Jesus. This is a family that was really meaningful to Jesus, a place that he found refuge and you know, really a close camaraderie
right.
with his friends there. And now Lazarus has died, and Mary and Martha are understandably super troubled and grieving and this is a horrible time in their lives. And Jesus is at the tomb, and he says, "Take away the stone." Mm-hmm. And they're all going, "This doesn't make sense. What are you talking about?" Martha is especially protesting that, you know, that it's going to smell, and that his body had already started to decay. But Jesus convinces them that this is for the glory of God and that they should do it. So they're obedient, and as they are preparing to roll away this stone, Jesus prays,
mm-hmm.
and his prayer is super instructive to me. It says that in John 11:41, Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." His very first words were, "Father, I thank you."
Yeah.
And this was before the answer to their prayers. This was before Lazarus was raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
We think in terms of like, oh, Lazarus was raised from the dead, now everybody would pray, "Lord, I thank you."
Right.
But Jesus, before the miracle, while there were still lots to worry about, while Martha is fretting and wondering why this isn't going to turn out super badly, all of that, in the middle of that, Jesus says, "I thank you."
Yeah.
And to me, that's a reminder that on the front end of the problem, on the front end of the worries, that's when we are to thank God.
Yeah. 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 I it's so true. I think, you know, in even teaching, you know, our young, you know, kids to pray, you know, it's cute because they sometimes are real bold in their prayers, and other times you can tell they're kind of real timid, you know, like they don't know what to pray about, you know? And so, you know, we're just trying to, you know, teach them, you know, but we go like, you know, yeah, it's like a conversation you can have with God, and, you know, you can pray. And so Remy always prays, "Thank you for Jesus," you know, and I love that. Like, I just love that he always goes like, you know, he'll pray, and somewhere in his prayer, you know, he'll pray for, you know, everybody in our family and for his school and all the things, you know, and he'll somewhere in there always throw into, "Oh, and thank you, God, for Jesus," you know, and I love that. Like, I just think it's so cute, but it is honest. It's so true that we are to lead with a thankful prayer, you know, lead with that.
Yeah, with our kids when they were little, we used to go around the table to pray. Sometimes everybody just had to say one thank you prayer.
Right.
But again, just building thanks into our prayers is huge.
Huge. Yeah.
Yeah. It just changes. It reframes the way we think about
it.
Because I found that sometimes when we take this passage to turn our worries into prayers, we're really turning our prayers into worries.
Yes. Yes.
What we're doing is we're just worrying
out
loud prayer with prayer language.
Yes. Yes.
You know, using all the kind of the cliches of prayer.
Yes.
But all we're doing is worrying out loud.
Right.
And I find, you know, God doesn't need us to inform him.
Yes.
Of all the details.
Right.
Like, oh, don't forget about this.
Right.
Because I'm worried about it. That communicates that I might know better than God, or I might, you know, he's too busy or too big to be worried about this little thing. So we kind of want to bring it before him. Rather, it's not to inform God, but it's really to inform us of who's at work here in the situation, to be reminded that God's, and that's where thankfulness to me changes the script. It reminds us that I'm thanking you for these are the things that you've promised that you're going to do in this situation. Even though I don't know how it's going to play out and I can't predict the future, I do know that you're going to be true to yourself. You're going to be true to your character.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. Yeah. Or we can always do like the, you know, the, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but the telling, like almost kind of like commanding or like telling God, like, hey, I need you to really fix this.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, like sometimes like we, you know, when we have like a rough sound check on Sunday, I'm like, you know, I'll, you know, be praying for the service. And like, I sometimes catch myself, of course I'm joking, but I catch myself going like, you know, okay, if you are to come back, would you come back in the next 15 minutes before I have to go back on stage? I'm joking. But I'm just saying, like, but we get in the, like, that rhythm of going, like, you know, I really need you to fix this, like, right now. You know what I mean? Like, I really need you to take the, whatever this burden is, whatever this struggle is in my life, and to just fix it.
You know? And when you're thankful, that just changes the tone of that. You know, it's not us demanding or us, you know, urging or us somehow convincing God. It's really more us participating with what God's already at work doing.
It, at the bare minimum, you know what I mean? Like when we go to God and we're, you know, in a worry state or we're in an overwhelmed state, you know, just to be thankful, for, you know, the clothes on my back and the food in my belly and the roof over my head. It's like, I think it reframes your heart, it reframes your mindset to realize that no matter what it is, you know, the God that goes before is the God that stands beside you, you know, and he's going to be right in there with you, you know, in that battle. And so, you know, I think, I just agree with everything, that it just puts it into a different perspective. And it also realizes that we are to be thankful for the things that we do have, you know, no matter what worry is going on, you know.
And I get it that there's times when we're so overwhelmed with what's happening that we're just crying out help to God. And the Psalms give us permission to just come honestly and candidly. Here's where I am. Peter walking on water starts to sink. Help, Lord. I get it. We have those times. I'm just saying that sometime in that prayer, when we transition to thank you, that becomes really a transformational moment
for us
in prayer, and part of what happens when worry starts to be diffused.
Very much so.
So transition to thank you sometime in that prayer. And then finally, just remember God's goal is not just peace. It's that we get the God of peace.
Yes, we do.
I thought that was a beautiful way Paul transitions in this section, in the, this part of Philippians, where first he says, you know, if we relinquish our worries to God, we'll get the peace of God. But as you move further, when we start to think on new things and we start to act upon what we know is true, we actually experience the God of peace. And his goal for us is not just his peace, but himself. He wants us to have him. And when we have him, it doesn't matter what we face, you know, then you know, he's the one that goes before us. And we now have something in that worry, whatever we've been worried about, which will probably be over and we'll probably move on and life will go on, an hour from now, a week from now, a month from now, whatever we're worried about will probably be over it. But if we learn the lesson that God is with me, that's something that's going to last.
The song we sang before the message, in the bridge, it says, I sought the Lord and he answered, and that's why I trust him. And I just love, I like the way that that set up the message for the morning, was that, you know, we are to keep our focus on God, and no matter what is happening around us, our focus shouldn't change, you know. And I know it's easier said than done, but God does give us examples of how to do that, you know, to go with him in prayer, you know?
I remember singing that yesterday while you were, where you were leading that, going in the message. And maybe, I don't know if this is other people, but when I'm singing, like, I tend to like look at the lyrics to, kind of quickly catch what I'm singing, but then I'll like either close my eyes or I'll stop looking at the lyrics and just keep singing, sort of thinking that I know where it's going. And sometimes I say the wrong words because I haven't you know, check the...
It happens to the best of us. It still happens to me.
It happens to you all, right.
All the time.
But I remember when we got to that line, I sang it wrong. I said, how does it set
it
up?
It sings, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered.
And that's why...
That's why I trust him.
Yeah. I sought the Lord, he heard and he answered. That's why I praise him.
Oh,
is what yeah. I sang. And I go, oh, wait, well, no, it's trust him. And I go, but I like both, you know,
right.
In my ways, it's like I trust him and therefore I praise him.
Right.
But I also kind of like trust him because I go, yeah, that's I don't know. I just want to let you know that as we're singing those lyrics, it actually is landing in our
yes.
brains and our hearts,
yes.
you know, and I think what's cool is sometimes we know them by heart and so we can just sing them, but other times the words are actually kind of feel fresh or maybe different than we
sure.
expect them to go. And
sure.
that's also really powerful yeah. because like I'm processing as
yes.
we're singing.
Yes, very much
yeah.
so. Yeah.
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 As I'm singing softly so that nobody can hear.
Well, we did have a rehearsal after church yesterday.
Yeah.
And you were not singing softly.
I was, because very few people were in the auditorium, so I felt the freedom not to wreck someone's worship experience.
And it sounded great.
It did not.
It did not. It really did. It really did. Next time we sing the song, I think I might be like, you know, do one of these gestures and be like, okay, Doug, it's your turn now, you know?
No. No. It must have been like two notes or something that I, the whole song must have been within a very narrow range. I was shouting. I wasn't singing, you know.
I don't think I've ever heard your voice be that loud before.
Well,
I was impressed.
I was trying to be goofy is what I was doing. All right. Well, we promised you
yes.
that we would tack on the listener question from
yeah.
last week, which
yeah.
means that if you're listening to this in an audio format, it'll probably be, you know, it'll just be a smooth transition.
Right,
but
right.
If you're watching on YouTube,
yeah.
suddenly we'll be wearing different clothes and it'll be a different time of the day. It'll be nighttime. Anyway, we're going to insert a clip from last
sure.
week, our listener's question. It was what humbled, you know, all week long I've been humbled by this.
Yes.
Very self-conscious about the way I
Me too.
Speak. Anyway, I'm really grateful for our listener.
International.
I'll tease you, exactly. International listener and I wonder, because if she heard last week's, she probably was sure that it was going to
oh, for sure.
come up.
For sure.
I didn't hear from her,
sure.
so who knows? But anyway,
right.
Here it is.
Yes.
We'll play it
yes.
for you, and then we'll come back and wrap this up at the end. So here you go. All right. I told you the listener question was I'm so excited about this. So, all right.
I'm getting nervous.
So, Sandra from Switzerland.
Hey. Hello, Switzerland.
Hello, Switzerland. Claudio and Sandra are in Switzerland. They were at our church for a couple years.
Yeah.
And they moved back to their hometown in Switzerland.
Right.
And remember, you were looking on the map.
Yes.
Where you can see
yes.
where our podcast
yeah.
is listened to.
Yeah.
And there
yeah.
was a couple hits in
yeah.
in Switzerland.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
it was them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this is so great because we were going, we have an international following.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we weren't sure if it was really them, but it is them.
Okay.
And so.
Well, I've been telling everybody that, you know, I'm like, well, I get to produce an international podcast. So,
exactly.
You know,
we're international.
We're international.
Yeah. No big deal, but, you know, all over the world.
NBD.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Yeah. So she writes, hi, Doug and Ryan. I hope you're doing well. We still love to hear you every week from Switzerland.
Woo! That's
Hello.
What I'm talking about.
That's
All
so
right.
Great.
Let's go.
And then she says, we have laughed when you've discovered some listeners from our small country. So
nice.
They heard us talking about that and just really laughed like they're listening and we
yeah.
think it's them. So anyway, she goes on to say, I have a question. And this is where, if I said this early on, we would have been self-conscious the
okay.
whole podcast.
Okay.
And now we will be self-conscious every podcast from this time forward.
It's a good thing that I have a short memory because I'll forget.
I have a question. Who do you think says more, you know, between Ryan and Doug? Which of you do you think says you know more? So she's listening to this, and apparently it is driving her crazy that we say, you know, that much, which is really remarkable because English is her second language.
And not her only.
No. And it still bothers her that she's going, they have this, they say, you know, too much.
That's so funny. Well, I often say, because when people ask me if I speak Spanish, I go, I barely have a firm grasp on the English language, the only language I've ever known. Barely have a firm grasp on it. You know what I mean? Barely. You know?
You know? You know? So she goes on. It's not done.
Oh, no.
She goes, in the attachment, you have the answer and the number. Yes, I listened a second time to count. So this is episode 33. She listened to it. It probably was driving her crazy. I just picture her with a piece of paper in front of her with Doug and Ryan on it, and she's just giving a little hatch mark every time one of us says, you know. And she listened to the whole thing twice, a second time.
I'm done. To see, you know what, Doug? This has been a great podcast. This has been great.
It's good, you know? We're looking for people that have a grasp on the English language that would like to take this over.
Really, anybody.
Anybody. It doesn't have to be your first language. It doesn't matter. As long as you can speak it better than us, you know?
You know.
If you can speak it gooder than we can, you know, then we're good.
You're hired.
You're hired. So she listened a second time to count.
Oh, my gosh.
And I have the answer.
Okay.
So, but you have to guess. Which of us do you think said it more? Which of the two of us?
I would probably say me.
In the 33rd episode of season 2.
Right.
She right. counted.
Yes.
And you're just going to say you.
I'm going to go with me. Yeah. I'm going to, yeah.
You're right.
I just think is you're so good. You're so good. I can't even talk now. Like you're such a great communicator that I would
apparently
imagine.
Apparently not, because wait till you see the stats.
Okay. Well, so I would think that this is the part where I'm rubbing off on you, where you're picking up things that from me that you don't even know that you've picked up. You know what I mean?
All right. Maybe so. So she counted. So you're right.
Okay.
You edged me out.
Nice.
A little bit. Not by much. And I'm not going to show you the number yet, but I have the number. How many times do you think you said you know in episode 33 of season 2?
I'm trying to think.
She counted. There's a check marks on a piece of paper somewhere in Switzerland that is got all this documented.
I would say I said it 27 times.
27.
Okay.
The reality is, I said it 54 times. And you said it 71 times.
Okay, listen. You deserve a better co-host, and I will find him for you. I will find him or her for
Apparently
you.
Apparently not, because I'm right there with you. I mean, neck and neck.
This reminds me of my father-in-law has a funny story that there were like these bad boys at school, okay? Mm-hmm. And so his mom would go to the lunch, like during the lunch period, to make sure he wasn't sitting at the bad boy table.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the equivalent of it. You decided to sit at the table with me.
Yeah.
And now I'm rubbing off on you in a very bad way.
Yeah. You know, I feel like the listener questions from this point on are just going to be people counting things that we say too often.
I think so. Well, thanks for listening to it twice.
Yeah, I mean, that's good.
That's nice.
She listened twice.
Yeah, that's nice.
The first time, the second time was to just, you know, have some fun with it. Anyway, she did end her note saying, we miss you,
yes,
which is very sweet.
Yes.
And we miss them too.
Yes, so much so.
Apparently,
we miss them so much.
Yeah. That I love it so much. It's so great.
My gosh.
That they're listening along, and we are we are bugging people internationally.
I would say we made it.
We are bothering people all around the world. It's great.
It's great.
We have made it.
Here we are just doing our little podcast in San Diego, and we're irritating half of the world.
Well, you know, this has been an encouragement,
you know,
to all of you,
you know, out there.
Thanks, to Ryan and,
Ryan has retired from podcasting.
Enthusiastic viewers, our listeners, Wow. See, we're going to be self-conscious from this point on.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm done. This is my consider this to be my formal resignation.
Please, please don't leave. Please don't. All right. Well, that is so both fun and humbling to be reminded of that. And now I've had to live with that for 2 weeks rather than 1 week.
But, right.
Anyway, if hopefully there's going to be an episode 36.
Hopefully.
Hopefully we'll get beyond this. We'll be able to somehow pick ourselves back up.
Now that that is out in the world, we may have to reconsider some things. But other than that, we're okay.
Yeah, it says a lot about our willingness to be transparent that we put that out there.
Yes,
right?
Very much so. Yeah.
Well, thank you to Sander for that great question. Thank you, Ryan, for this conversation,
this chance
to kind of think through worry and God's remedy for worry and how we're not alone in this, that we're together in that.
Yes,
thank you to our enthusiastic viewers and listeners who track with us week by week. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle. I look forward to talking soon.